Hello everyone, this is Rocco Sansone, the comic book editor at ComputerFix.com, and I'm standing here with the writer, producer, and director of My Brooklyn, Kelly Anderson.
Hi.
So, Kelly, tell us, what was your inspiration behind My Brooklyn?
Actually, when you said the credits, I just want to be clear. I really made the film with Allison Dean, who's my collaborator on it. So I have the director credit, but we really wrote it together and produced it together and just made the whole thing together, really. And so she brought the idea for the film to me. I was teaching at Hunter College, where I teach documentary filmmaking, and she came into my office one day. She was studying urban planning, and she said, you know, I've been doing this research down at Fulton Mall in downtown Brooklyn, and, you know, the city's about to redevelop it. And, you know, they say that it's really crappy and nobody likes it the way it is, but actually everyone I'm talking to really values it and likes it and has this deep attachment to it, so I want to make a film about it. And I was living around the corner from the Fulton Mall. I knew the space, and I was like, wow, that's really interesting. Let's find out what's going on. And, you know, 6 years later, we finished the movie.
Is that why the main focus of the movie is Fulton Mall?
Yes, but we also felt that Fulton Mall was a really good case study for looking at development under Mayor Bloomberg, because it was one of many major rezonings that happened under that administration. A lot of people don't know how aggressively Bloomberg used the zoning codes to reshape the city. So the thing that they did at Fulton Mall, which was this massive upzoning where they suddenly took, you know, instead of there being a 6-floor height limit on the buildings there, which it had been forever, they allowed like 50 or 60 stories, and they also allowed residential, which wasn't. So they essentially decided to turn downtown Brooklyn into a sort of high-rise, largely luxury residential / commercial area. It's the same thing that happened in a lot of different places in the city. So it was a really good microcosm of a bigger thing.
So tell us about the filming of My Brooklyn. What was it difficult? What problems have you gone to? And there were a whole bunch of politicians you had in there. Was that difficult to get a hold of them?
Well, the whole film was, yeah, it was hard. It was largely hard because of the lack of resources. You know, filmmaking's always hard. So we did raise some money through Kickstarter and got a few other small grants, but we never got that big pool of money that would have allowed us to really, you know, pay people to shoot, pay people to edit. You know, so we ended up doing a lot of stuff on our own or just spending our own money. That was part of it. The sort of silver lining of that problem, though, was that because it took us 6 years to do the film, we had every stage of Fulton Mall documented from pre the rezoning all the way up through now, which is a completely different place. So we gained something in terms of that because of the long time frame. Accessing people in the city, yeah, that was hard. I mean, we tried to interview Mayor Bloomberg. We tried to interview Amanda Burden, who was the head of city planning. Instead, they gave us Purnima Kapoor, who was in the film, the head of Brooklyn city planning. And what was really interesting for me was realizing how much of city policy around development actually happens within these very opaque agencies where they're, you know, like, city planning had to let us talk to someone because they're a public agency and that's part of their job, to be transparent to some extent. But the Downtown Brooklyn Partnership, which is really running development downtown in Brooklyn, had really no obligation to talk to us. So the fact that Joe Chan talked to us from the partnership was, you know, just almost kind of an accident that he allowed me to interview him. I don't think he actually really understood what I was doing. And so EDC, the Economic Development Corporation, which is where most big development gets planned in the city and worked out and all the deals made with the big developers, is completely untransparent. So, yeah, it's very hard for the regular public to get any kind of information about what's happening, what the results of, you know, whether the what promises have been made to developers, what promises have actually been fulfilled and delivered on, you know, when we've tried to extract, you know, community benefits from developers. All that stuff is very, very hard to track. So there's a lack of public access to the knowledge that's in the film.
Have you been keeping in touch with everyone you interviewed in the film?
It's been hard. A lot of people have been displaced from that area of Brooklyn. So most of those stores that are in the film, the people are not there anymore. A lot of them, it's very hard to keep track of people, you know, like the barbers in the film, I don't know where they are now, you know, because someone has a cell phone, that's all I know. They're renting a chair in another barbershop and then another one, and as soon as they change their cell phone number, we can't, you know, we can't find them anymore. So some of them, yes, But a lot of people know. A lot of people are not even in the city anymore.
Do you think what's been going on in Fulton Mall affects, is the same thing going on the rest of Brooklyn and the rest of the city, like Queens, the Bronx, places like that?
Yeah, I think the general pattern is the same everywhere. Certainly in Harlem, the same thing's going on. You know, when they rezoned 125th Street, it's had a massive displacement impact on businesses there. You know, I mean, the Bloomberg vision for the city was that the more rich people we can attract here, the more expensive real estate gets, the better it is for the city. And I think that, you know, hopefully with our new mayor, we can enforce a different set of priorities and realize that a city needs all kinds of people living in it.
What kind of reaction did this film get?
The reaction to My Brooklyn was super positive. You know, on the just level of the general public, I mean, thousands and thousands of people came out to see it. We did a theatrical at this place in Dumbo called Rerun Theater, and I think we were the first film to ever sell out Rerun. We sold out the entire first run, and then we ended up 3 weeks there selling out almost every show, and for the last year and a half, people have just been calling. And one of the most exciting things was that we did this campaign last summer called My Brooklyn, Our City, and we created a facilitator guide, and we just made the film available for free to anybody in New York City who wanted to host a screening with six people or more. So that could mean inviting six of your friends over for dinner and watching it. But what happened was people just ran with this. So in, like, Bedford-Stuyvesant, there was a 200-person screening at a cafe that I didn't even know the person who organized it. I had nothing to do with it. You know, she got the film from me, and they, you know, so there was this amazing kind of groundswell of discussion around the issues. So there were over 50 of those screenings that happened.
Also, why did you choose Brooklyn out of all the other boroughs? And what drew you to Brooklyn in 1988?
Yeah, I moved here in 1988. Well, it was about Brooklyn because that's the borough that I've lived in as long as I've been in New York, and I have a lot of attachment to it. I've lived in probably 10 neighborhoods in Brooklyn. I felt like the story that I had experienced of moving into a community because it was affordable, because it had a nice mix of people and felt very livable, and then eventually, you know, feeling priced out by real estate going up, you know, rent prices and stuff, and then moving to another community and having the same thing happen, that was an experience that a lot of people had in New York. And I wanted to sort of articulate that, and I felt that there was something to be gained through that story, and to just deepen the discussion around, you know, why gentrification happens, that it's not just, you know, a problem of people moving into a neighborhood and the older people who've been there longer saying, like, don't move to my neighborhood, or, you know, people have these ways of thinking about gentrification that are kind of simplistic, and so we wanted to make sure that people saw it in terms of city policy. You know, there's always going to be change in neighborhoods, and people are going to look, I'm living in Sunset Park. I didn't live here 5 years ago. You know, so there's always going to be people moving in and out of neighborhoods. The problem is that the city stacks the deck in favor of one type of person, and you know, and the developers, really, in this city. And I just felt like that was really a tragedy, not only in sort of social justice terms, like it just wasn't fair. I also felt like, and I continue to feel like, the city that I love is kind of being homogenized and corporatized, and I just I really love New York City as a diverse, interesting place that's unlike anywhere else in the world. And you know, I just wanted to do my part to try and keep it that way.
What would you say was the hardest part about filming My Brooklyn?
The hardest part about filming My Brooklyn was, I think that for a long time there was this sense that gentrification was an old topic, that there was no point in talking about it, that, you know, that's old hat and we're sort of done talking about that, and, you know, this idea that people wouldn't, I just was struggling with this idea of, like, would people really be interested in it? And then, you know, sometimes when you make a film, the public discussion around something sort of percolates up right at the same time as your film comes out, and so it was so great, because when the film came out, suddenly everybody wanted to talk about this, you know, and you have this real sense of, it's really affirming that the thing you've been obsessed with for 6 years that nobody seemed to care about, suddenly everybody is really interested in. So I feel like the hardest part was struggling to find the story, struggling with the way to tell it. Like my voice, it wasn't told in my voice at first at all. It was a much more it had a like more of a third person narration. It wasn't told through my experience at all. And so I think just like finding our way, you know, it was just it's always hard when you're making a film. You feel like you don't know if it's ever going to work. So, you know, this one was no exception.
Are there any plans for a DVD release or a streaming release at all?
Yeah, I mean, right now we're still distributing to the educational market mostly, which is through New Day Films. So, but I've been selling DVDs off my website for $25 since the film came out. So if anybody wants it, they're, you know, just go to our site. It's mybrooklynmovie.com. Shoot me an email, and, you know, I just do it through PayPal. So that's sort of how I've managed to not fully release it on home video yet, because I'm still trying to, you know, I'm still pretty broke from making the movie, so I'm trying to do what I can in the educational market, which is a little bit more lucrative than the home video one. But I've sold a lot of DVDs.
What are your future plans now? Like, what are your future future projects you're working on right now?
I do not have another film project at the moment, but I'm working on a book about documentary filmmaking. It's called Documentary Voice and Vision, and I'm writing it with a colleague, two colleagues of mine from Hunter College. And so that's going to keep me busy for like the next year and a bit, and then we'll see.
Would you like to add anything else about the film, about yourself?
Nope. That seems to be a bunch of great questions. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Kelly.
Bye.